And welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Energy. I have one, not two, but technically two, but I have two cats too, so that's four guests. I'm going with four. Okay, it's the first time ever Emiliano Mazinga is on my show. I never think I've had a true composer on my show before, so this will be a first. And the wonderful Honey Lawrence coming back, who I missed dearly. After 5 years, she abandoned me. She's decided to come back, which is great. And she told me she's going to be back again this year with this short I missed because she forgot to send it to me. So I'm going to hold her to that.
So nice to be back. Thank you for having me.
Let's start. This is your baby from the beginning, honey. This is all yours.
All right.
So where did it come from? I mean, it's a very different story. I honestly don't think I've ever seen something like this before, but maybe you have. I've never have. I mean, I know it does exist in the world. I've heard of things like this, but seeing a motion picture was very different. So where did the roots come from?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is different. It's in that there aren't very many features that have a intersex character in it. There's not a lot of narrative features about intersex. This is really a Romeo and Juliet story, though, about differences, two different people. People with differences. And so I set out to write something that really happened to me many, many years ago. Growing up, I thought my parents had made a mistake because I thought I was a boy. And this was a long, long time ago. And this went on for like my first 7 years of my life. And then from 7 to 8, I lived as Larry. So I set out to write this story. Of course, it has nothing to do with what the story is, but that's where the idea came from. I thought I was going to write about this this other identity that I lived with for so long.
Yeah, Emiliano, when you come onto a project, how cold are you to come onto a project? I mean, you're not a writer, you're not a director, you're a composer. So when do you normally come into this project, and when do you normally come into another project?
So for this project, I came in post-production. That is usually when I start working. Sometimes, especially when there is an established relationship with the director, I might like start in pre-production and also have some teams just by reading the script. It's very rare now, but it happened in the past that like if you compose music beforehand, then the director can actually use it like while filming and getting, you know, this atmosphere for the actors, and which is pretty cool.
Okay, I'm going to build off that. Honey, when I'm watching the film, I find his music does come in very nicely. I want to use the word heavenly, but I don't know if I'm pushing it too far, because I quite feel it's a departure from the singing parts. So when you were listening to it, did you know exactly where you want music, or did you have to play with it a bit more?
Well, it's good that you said heavenly, because that was sort of the image we used, was a carousel in heaven. And that was something I got from Emiliano. I heard this music on his website, and it had this quality. Just that. That's where it brought me. And because this character is talking to us from heaven, I felt that, and the idea of this beautiful waltz, you know, this just was in there, and Emiliano really just brought it to life. You know, it's like, I feel like he completely captured what we were trying to do and enhanced it and supported it. So it was quite a process, really.
When you're asked to compose, do you say, I need 3 tracks, 5 tracks, or do you just say, what do you got for me? Like, how does that work?
You work like on the film, so it depends how many music the film needs. So then you try, you know, to write a few themes and not too many, so that really like it's the identity of the film. It's not like seems like you're just using tracks from, you know, different sources. And what you said about heaven, I'm glad that you catch that, because that was like that thing that Ani said, like Carousel in Heaven, like really inspired me to write the right music. I remember sending the first idea that wasn't quite right. And then she said this Carousel in Heaven, and that really like struck me. And it's so important because like music oftentimes plays with the voiceover, and it's gonna tell something that the audience doesn't know yet. Like it's this first scene. We don't know what happens at the end of the movie. I don't want to spoil for the audience that hasn't watched it yet, but like the music really helps there, like with the voiceover, like to really, setting where, yeah. I don't
And
want to
then it was
spoil.
so helpful because look, this is the first feature I've done, and I know that like for the last short that you saw, it was score throughout the entire film, and I knew there were times we weren't going to score, and Emiliana was really helpful with that process. Sometimes you have to know when not to put music to.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, Amelia, I'm gonna depart from you for a few minutes, but join in if you want to comment on anything. You're more than welcome to, just so you know. I do want to go over a few locations before I forget. The hospital seems very real to me.
Yeah. It was a real hospital in an abandoned, not school, but it was like an abandoned, village kind of place. It was crazy where there were multiple structures. It was many, many acres, and it was a home for people who weren't well, obviously people who needed help, and of all ages. Babies were born there, kids lived there, families lived there. It was wild. There were houses, so it was pretty amazing spot. And that hospital was a real hospital, abandoned, of course.
A couple more locations I want to touch on. The bar looks like a real bar.
Yeah, that was, gosh, where was that? That was someplace out here in Los Angeles. Most of it was shot in LA, though we did shoot a little bit in Kentucky, really only one day with the actors, and the other 2 days were B-roll. But yeah, so that was at a club, some club in Los Angeles, and it was really amazing because we were able to do the big scene, the big party scene in the next room as well.
And
So
the
it's like a
last,
DFW
oh, wait a
club. Yeah.
second. The big party scene and the bar, the same place?
Yeah. It was some kind of Mason club, Masonic temple, something.
Yes, that makes sense.
Crazy that they still have those, but they do.
They do have
Yeah.
one still where I live. There is one still where I live. I've
I
never
love
been in
those.
it, but there is one. And the last one was discuss the store. I mean,
Yeah,
we're going to the
that was.
50s here. Did you make up the store or? That's just like a fruit
So
market.
so it was an abandoned gas station, and it was a set in Santa Clarita, and it was the most dressed thing we had to dress, obviously. And it though the movie takes place in 1971, it still feels like it hasn't changed for 40 years, in there. And so yeah, we had to create that store. That was actually our very first day of shooting.
Oh.
And yeah, so I thought it was one of those things that was going to need a lot of work. And thankfully, Eric Bakken, the producer, had a mind for that. And he said, let's start with that because that's the biggest thing to build. So we did.
Okay, Emiliana, when you go see your film or have people watch your film, are you looking for an expectation from your music, or you just want them to come out happy? Like you know where your music's going to drop. Honey knows where. I have no idea. So when your music drops, I get excited. Like, oh, I like this. So when you see it for the first time with a theater or with somebody, how do you feel about that? Are you ex waiting for your needle drop, or you're just like, I don't want it to stand out. How do you look at that?
Well, it's usually quite a surprise because when I work on the film, it's just, one part, but it's not the end of the chain. So there is always like the mix. So you never know if the music is gonna be there throughout or something is taken out or like what's the level? For instance, in this film, the music has been mixed quite high. So you can hear it a lot. And I was surprised. I was like, wow, it's really featured in many scenes. And yeah, I try really to see how it works with the story, and when you watch the whole movie and you see the audience reacting. It's we were in Sedona a few weeks ago for the festival, and like you're in the audience, like really saying, how that brought out the performance of the actors, especially in such an emotional film like this one. I think, yeah, that's what I was looking for, like the music really working with the emotional side of the film.
And I loved it loud. That was my thing, you know. I wanted it so loud.
I
The
did notice that this
louder,
it booms. It really does. You know when your music shows up. I find your singing scenes you kept a little more toned down,
better.
but his is booming. I'm looking forward to it by the end of the film. Like, oh, I don't want this to end. I'm enjoying it.
Love
And
that.
we're,
He's sort of a character in the movie, I think, mainly, as I said, and that makes a lot of sense.
I have a weird question about the farm. Now, you keep doing shots of these plants.
Yeah.
What is that plant? Because I couldn't figure it out.
Oh, you can. Oh, yeah, it's tobacco. It's
Oh,
big
because
yellow tobacco.
I've never seen tobacco grown, and I don't smoke it, so that's probably why I had no idea what that was.
It's so beautiful for such a, it's terrible what, you know, it does, but it's what they do to the plant, actually. The plant itself is beautiful. But
But
big
you
yellow.
focus on that tobacco a lot, even on your pan shots, wide shots, you bring it in wide. And even when you come in the barn, I still see more tobacco. Now, is
Oh, yeah.
that your plan to constantly place it places so I would notice, or just
The
an
world they
habit?
live in, they live on a tobacco farm in 1971, probably when there were still independent tobacco farms. And that's the year it was going down. It's like big tobacco farms were taking over, you know, corporate. So while we actually shot on one of the last probably remaining private tobacco farms, it was their last year of growing, actually,
Oh.
after 30 years, and ours was the last crop. We were there cutting it down as we were shooting. So thank God we got it in, because it's really hard to find an independent tobacco farm now, let alone even in 1971. They were there. But yeah, I mean, he was part of this world that he couldn't stay in. There was no place for him there. For people who don't know what the movie's about, it's about a kid born in 1941 between the sexes, with ambiguous genitalia. And so the parents had to choose the sex of the baby. This baby was born intersex. And 30 years later, this baby was raised a man with the help of hormone treatment. So here we are in 1971, and there's this tobacco was very important. He loved it there. Like if he had his way, he would just be there. That's
Oh, I
his way.
definitely got that. Okay. You have a couple scenes with motorcycle riding. Now, can your actor actually ride a motorcycle, or is that a stunt double?
Oh boy, could he? He absolutely could. However, obviously, you know, I wasn't allowed to have him do it. He needed a special license. Billy, the bar guy, he drove off because he had his license, but my lead, he knows how to do that, but he couldn't, so we had to create that.
Okay, but so how do you recreate your riding shots? You have a couple shots, you clearly see him on a bike. I know it's movie magic,
Well,
but
yeah,
could you let
being
me in a
pulled
bit
on a
more?
trailer. But it would have been too dangerous for him to do it. And then also to have Lily, Gigi Hyatt, who plays Lily, on the back of the bike with him. So, we had to fake it.
Okay, Amelia, I'm going to keep trying on some of these music questions. How many instruments do you play on your thing? I mean, I know you're a
Oh, yeah,
composer,
that's
but
a
do you
good
play
question.
everything? Because I honestly don't know. I can see instruments behind you on the video, people, so I'm going there.
Yeah, actually, on this one, I only play piano, and then I hired a few string players to.
Oh, okay.
Actually, this is a unique story because usually, like when you have to audition for a film, you just, you write something one day on your computer and you send it out. In this case, I love the movie so much. I watched the movie. And I was about to send something, and I was like, "Ooh, I really need to show how this can be, like the final product." And so I hired some musicians before even being hired on the film, so like to show that. And I think that, paid out. But
Oh,
like,
yeah. I was like, these are real strings, because most people don't even ever, do that. It's so, yeah, we recognize that right away. I'm like, what am I listening to? Oh my God, it was so beautiful.
so let's back this up. You watched the film Cold then the first time, right? There's no music in it yet, other than the singing birds.
Yeah,
I don't
no,
think that was in
there
there.
was. I think there was some music, some temp music. There was.
Yeah, but there wasn't any of that other part with the lyrics and stuff in there. There was a little bit of temp.
Yeah, but yeah.
So I guess what I'm really looking for here, how do you know what to do? I mean, I understand you got to a final product, you've talked to Honey, but I mean, you're watching, you're sitting there. Are you taking notes while you do it? Say, oh, I want to do this here. Or does that come after? Like, I really want that whole brain working process.
Yeah, like you get some ideas, and of course, like you spend some time also at the piano improvising and getting a sense of what can work, what doesn't. But then at the end of the day, it was like conversation with Honey, and also like having Honey in my studio, and like we really tried things out in person, and that was like a
Yeah.
big difference for me. I work
Maybe.
with directors also, like not necessarily in LA. So having that was like huge for me, and having Honey and Davey, like also Davey has like some musical background, like it was very helpful to do that. And then, then when they left, I was continuing, and then they came back and I was showing. So it was really a collaborative process at the end of the day that,
It was amazing to watch him because I'd go over there and he'd start playing live to the music, to the picture. So much so that I didn't realize that was happening. Do you remember? I'm like, what? So it was pretty amazing to watch
Okay.
somebody do that. She's so
I
talented.
he is very talented. I agree. I
Thank you.
want to touch on the casting process a bit. You do a lot of eras of people. So you have them with little kids, let's say teenagers and adults. I find you work very hard at getting similar looking people. And I was watching for this. So how hard was that? I mean, even your leads, when they're little kids, look very similar to what I would expect them to. Obviously not exactly, but enough that I'm like, I get it. She
Unbelievably.
made an effort.
Here's the truth is, I had 5 to 7 children to choose from for the lead, for Larry. That's the truth. And the first one I got, the parents didn't want, after reading the script, they wouldn't let him do it. And so I had very few to choose from. So I'm going to just call it straight up luck. However, it was super, super important to me that we knew exactly who these kids were and who the young, like Aunt Peg was, the young mother and father. Also, I needed that. I really, that to me, I thought that was so important. One of the things about young Larry, the 7-year-old, he looked so much like Dominic Bogart. And I hadn't seen what Dominic looked like without a beard until we were shooting, because we had to start him off. When I met him, his beard was like down to here because he was on American Primeval. So he had this massive beard. And I was like, can you send me a picture what you look like? I had no idea. And he didn't even have any without his beard that weren't like 30 years old. I'm like, oh, this isn't going to be help. So fortunately for me, I had no idea though that the little boy and him looked exactly alike when he took his beard off. I had no idea. I couldn't believe it. And also, I didn't even know what he looked like. I kept saying he was worried. I'm like, it's going to be okay. So I don't know where we were. We start with his be a shorter beard, and then the next scene he had to shave his beard, and I walked right by him, and I just kind of gave him the chin hello because I didn't know who the hell he was. So funny. It was like I had to do a double take. I was like, what? So it was
Okay,
amazing. So
you brought something
I got very lucky.
good. Okay, the beard scene. I want to discuss a little bit of the beard because
Yeah.
most of the film he has a beard on.
Right.
At one point in the film, he doesn't have a beard on,
Right. Yeah. We
and
did.
part of the beard comes off. I'm going to leave it at that. I don't think I'm getting into anything.
Oh,
Nothing's
that
going to.
part.
And
Okay.
now, is that a fake beard at that time?
Oh yeah, I'm not sure he ever had a real beard except for in the grocery store because that was the first thing we shot, and then it was like gone.
Really?
Yeah, he was already gone by the time maybe we had a little bit of B-roll with him, and then it was gone. That's it. It was gone in Kentucky. No, was it Kentucky? Yes, it was. Yeah. So we had to go because you can't shoot in order, right? So we had to
Oh,
keep
I
putting
know
it
that.
on, taking it off, right? So by the time he was the beard started coming out a little bit, he it was fake by that point.
I'm going to get back to you, and I just got two more
Yeah.
things for Helen. Sorry.
Yeah.
You do play at Peg.
I do, yeah.
Was that
Yeah.
always planned for you to play at Peg?
I think it probably was. I wrote it for myself. I never really thought I was going to direct this. You don't know how these. I wrote it like 11 years ago, the actual script. Of course, I wrote it for myself. But then I thought I'll never get a chance to do it. I'll be lucky if the movie gets made. So I was pretty resigned that I would never get to play her. So, but then I got to. Okay. I
And
wasn't
one last,
sure. But, yeah.
who drew the picture of Aunt Peg?
That? Oh, that picture. Yes. I think it came from, the lady who was the wardrobe lady, Sammy, drew it. We were all trying to draw it. It was all terrible. And then she just came in and we're like, that's it. So she's awesome. She did a
So,
great job.
Emiliano. When you are done with a project, any project, and you go back to revisit it, or do you want to fix something? You're like, oh, I could have done that a little bit differently. And I'm talking like you're done, you've shipped it, you're ready to go. And you know, like any creative person, something click, I gotta change that. Has that happened during this film?
Not during this film. It has happened in the past, but not during this film. Actually, I was surprised at the screening. I watched it in a big screen for the first time 2 3 weeks ago, and like there were some pieces of music like the. That I wasn't remembering them, and I was surprised at the how well they were working. Yeah, because when you work maybe I don't know 1 month, 2 months on a project, and then you have to sometimes write a lot of music in a short span of time, and yeah, there were a couple of ones. One was when there is the mom and Larry. When he doesn't have the beard anymore, which is like something that we did it towards the end. We weren't even sure that we would want to have music there.
Yeah.
And I remember even Dominic, the lead actor, was telling me there, like you did something special, was unique, something that you play when he says a certain line. And I was like, wow, yeah, I didn't even remember that writing that piece. Because when you are, writing, you write so much music and you are in the process that,
I love that music and that. Oh gosh, where it comes, yeah, and came in so perfectly. So you're so good.
I guess I could go ahead, Tony, sorry.
It just occurred to me that this was 3 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks ago was the first time Emiliano saw it on a big screen because I think you were working when we did a screening in LA and she couldn't make it and. Anyway, so I'm thrilled that you got to see it on the big screen. That's great.
Yeah,
It
it's a movie that you need to watch on a big screen. It really
Oh, I well,
is
this is the
different.
biggest I get is this lovely computer screen. I
Yeah.
guess I could put it on my TV.
That's a
So,
thing.
I honey, you wear a beautiful black and white outfit at one point.
Yes. Yeah. So that there's a story to that.
I hope so, because I love this outfit. I was like, what? Where did this come from?
That's so funny. That's a replica of a Biba, which is a very famous boutique in London. So I found a picture. I'm that girl. I love wardrobe, and I found a picture, and I just said we got to recreate this. And the thing about Biba, which I didn't know until maybe the night before we were shooting the scene in the prison, because I had asked to put that black and white floor there. Well, when you see the movie, it's obvious why. And everyone's like giving me so much grief And I'm like, no, it's gotta have a black and white floor there. Because in my brain, when I wrote it, they were wearing black and white prison uniforms. Everyone's like, that's not a thing, honey. That's like, Halloween. I'm like, okay. So we need to have the floor. Big thing. I got so much grief, especially from Davey. They put down the floor and it was fine. I go to find out that Biba was famous for their black and white floor. I had no idea. So there you go. And somebody who I talked to, maybe the first person who interviewed me about this film, he said to me, he turns out that he's friends with the lady who designed that suit for Biba.
Oh,
So
God.
just goes on and on. So I'm just super happy, number one, that we got the suit, number two, that I got the floor.
I do have one last question. Who's for Janice? Who is this? It says
That's
in the credits.
my mom's Janice.
Might
Yeah,
have
my
to.
mom, she loved this script so much. And in fact, after she read it, she said something to me, which is really one of the last lines that Lily has. And I'd say, thank you, Mom. I'm taking that line. And which I won't say, spoiler alert. But so she passed away 7 years ago. And so sad that, miss her every day. Miss her every day. And so, of course, I had to dedicate the film to her.
Okay, this is going to be a question for both of you, so I'm going to try to explain as best I can. Since this being your first film, honey, I want to know how you feel you developed as a director from day one till day, I'll say 15, 20, it looks like. And I
Funny,
mean,
okay.
how did you develop, feel you developed composing with honey from when you started until you ended?
Well, I'm going to say this. I learned so much. This is not like doing a long short because that's what I've done three shorts prior to this. And the way I got through this and even had the balls to do this was I told myself, oh, it's just like a long short. It's nothing like that. So I learned that. And that was a good thing. Also, I learned to, I think as we went along, in many ways, I did get more comfortable because there's certain things that you forget, like, how much time do we have in this location? Because here I am hurrying, and it's like, oh, I actually have another half hour. So the things that it's on the paper and I forgot to add, you're doing it. So I feel like I got more comfortable in my own skin doing it as we went along. I really do.
Yeah, for me it was first of all finding the teams, and then when we found the teams, like we were working so closely with Honey that I really wanted to get inside the story even more and inside the characters' minds to really like portray that. So I remember Honey sent me the book that she wrote.
Right.
And that helped immensely because on the book you can actually read what they're thinking while they're doing.
Ah.
And so I try, yeah, then with the music. So there were so many layers that, after that we nailed something, we found the themes, then you could work on something different and like a different layer and go deeper and deeper. So yeah, that was
Yeah.
process.
That's amazing. I forgot I sent you the book. I had written the script. And then during COVID, I decided to write the book. And then I kind of layered in some stuff from this book onto, I kind of did it backwards. Most people write a book first and then the script from the book, but I just did it the other way around. And the book is told in like seven different voices: the mother, father, Lily, Larry, Aunt Pei, and so on. Yeah.
Okay, Emiliano, it's your first time on the show. I need your favorite film.
Oh, it's a
Honey
favorite.
should have warned you, I do ask this question.
Yeah.
She probably doesn't remember.
It's a film by Giuseppe Tornatore, the director that wrote Cinema Paradiso, and his film is called The Legend of 900.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh, that's
I
beautiful.
want to give you guys enough time to tell you the rest of your stuff, so I'll give you just one more quick question. Favorite film from last year?
Oh gosh, from last year.
I'll make it easy for you.
I'm probably going to fail that question because I can't even remember last year. It was such a blur.
Go ahead, Emiliano. Do you have an answer?
No, I'm not sure. Yeah,
Okay, fair enough. Let's move along. Honey, before I let you guys go, tell everybody where they can find your projects.
Absolutely. If you go to destroyomedia.com or honeylauren.net, there's a list of upcoming festivals, and we're not sure when we're releasing yet. It's forthcoming, though. It will be
Hang
released.
on, you have a bunch of shorts that people may want to watch because I remember one with really
Oh.
cool bondage in it.
Yes, you do. Oh my gosh. Yes, Wise of the Skies. It has
That's it.
Wise of the Skies. Right now, I had a distributor for worldwide for a long time, and our contract was up, and they stopped repping shorts. So there's a fabulous short distributor out there. They should contact me.
People, please. One of my favorite shorts ever.
So fun.
Emiliano, I don't know much about your composer. So, where can they find your stuff?
My website, emilianomatsenga.com. There is most of my stuff, and also Spotify. I'm thinking about releasing the soundtrack album for this, so probably in the next
Yes, do
few
it. Don't be
months,
silly. Get it out there.
it will be out there. Yeah.
Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you
Thank
so much.
you. Thank you so much for
Such a
having us.
pleasure.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.